So you know what? I think that that as we kind of go through this time of coming out of the COVID pandemic, coming out of this as a church and as a people, like and as a society, as a world. Now, other parts of the world are not coming out like we are of this at this rate. They're struggling, but you know what? We just pray for Brazil, for India, for all those places, God. Just resources and strength and healing in Jesus' name. Lots of prayers to still be prayed, but there's something I sense, and maybe it's just wishful thinking or optimism, but there's something that I sense God's doing with his church on the other side of this. And I think that it's empowerment. And I think that what we're going through here at Bradley Epworth is only just a piece of what God's doing throughout the world in his church. And I think that he's empowering his church to be able to reach beyond what we were able to reach before through an increased level of the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God in our personal lives. And I think God is after this in all of our hearts. I think he's after this in all of our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think he's going to make us more like him. And I think he's going to make his church more like him. And when we become more like him, and the church becomes more like him, and the church worldwide becomes more like him, you guys, it'll be a day of a day of testimony to the glory and the reality of Jesus of Nazareth as God. And that could be setting us up for the very end of things. And if that is the case, praise God. You know, praise God. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. And it's much better on the other side of that than it is on this side. But I always like to remind us, there is something we cannot do in heaven. And we cannot, in the kingdom to come, let's call it that, because heaven makes us think of harps and sitting on clouds. The kingdom to come is more like, oh, we've got work to do. We're going to be really like doing stuff, right? In the kingdom to come, we won't be able to save lost souls. Now, you say, well, that's a good thing because everyone in the kingdom to come will be saved, and that's great, right? Okay, but right now is when we have that window and that opportunity to do something that the window's going to close. The opportunity won't be there. The door will shut. And so we want to do everything that we possibly can as individuals. What, did my thing come off my ear? Has this just been hanging there the whole time? Oh, no, this is my new way of doing it. Did you guys like that? Yeah, really cool. How many of you noticed that? No? Okay, cool. All right, good. Because you were too far away. All right. So what was I saying? Where was I?
In the kingdom.
Yeah, well, we won't be able to. Okay. So now, though, it's like there's a joyful empowerment that's coming to his church. And we're going to see in that joyful empowerment, we are going to see testimonies, celebrations, and glory. But there's also going to be a lot of difficult things going on in our world, okay? We're not clearing that up. That Jesus' return alone is going to clear that up. So in this time, I hope and I pray for us as a community of faith that we will remember what makes the difference. In this window of opportunity is the joyful empowerment of our hearts, becoming more like Jesus, and churches that are Jesus to the world, just like our neighbors, right? We want our neighborhood to know that they were in the presence of people who believe in Jesus and that actually had an effect, you know? Like there was less trash in our neighborhood because those Jesus people kept picking it up. And, you know, whatever it takes, whatever God can do, and not to, in these days that are coming, not to lean into political enmeshments and political means of solving things when that has never been God's way. Never. And we've really gotten astray on that. And to remember that God's way has always been a joyful empowerment and a sacrificial love that goes beyond all political means and attempts and desires. And to embrace the way God intended us to be as witnesses on this earth. All right? All right. So now, let me go to, we're going to have our prayer time this Saturday, and I do want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you to, if you can make an appointment, to go onto the website, and I think 5 people have made appointments, and we've got, I think, 16 slots. That means we're not going to get everybody. If we get a lot of people who want to sign up and there's no space, we might add some time, okay? I don't know how Daryl wants to do that. He's coordinating that at this point. But that's not the only time we have. You know, in the future, anybody who wants to have prayer for filling of the Holy Spirit, we can do that after church. You know, every Sunday for the rest of the time, we can set up another Saturday. It's not like this is a one and done. Oh, you had your chance to get filled with the Holy Spirit and you didn't, and oh well. It's like, but we want to use that as a way of empowering our church, making it possible for you. We're going to have a regular time of just coming to the sanctuary and sitting and soaking, and then when your appointment comes, you'll be by yourself with the prayer ministry people, and they will pray for you and just ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and God will decide what that means. God will decide what that looks like. The prayer ministry team is not suggesting that it's going to be this or that or the other. It's just that we pray for God to have His way and for His Holy Spirit to come and fill you, and He will do that, and it will look different. For some people, that may be the first time they've ever had someone pray for that. For others, it may be one of many, and it's just a new refreshing and a refilling of the Holy Spirit. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be refreshed in the power of God? All right, so I really want to encourage you to go to the website, bradleyupworth.org/events, and grab one of those prayer times that are available for this coming Saturday. And if you don't get a prayer time, let us know and we will set one up for you. Because that's what we do, right? On a regular basis, we just, whoever wants prayer for filling with the Holy Spirit, we do it. All right. Now, I want to remind us, then, of the difference and the power, of the joyful power that God gives to us. By going back to Matthew, and in the 4th chapter of Matthew, looking at sort of a pattern of how Jesus did what he did when he was here, and so since we're Jesus to the world now, we're the body of Christ in the world, we should look at that and see how that matches. Jesus chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Now, isn't that interesting? Preaching the good news of the kingdom. What's the good news of the kingdom? The good news of the kingdom is that there's a kingdom coming established by Jesus as the messianic king in which all of us will be healed. All of us will have all the demons kicked out. All of us will have all our sins forgiven, all of our wounds, every injustice made right. I don't know how he does it, but he's going to do it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. And that's good news. And this is an invitation into that kingdom. And listen to, that's the kingdom that's coming. And there's a way to assure your place in that kingdom where you don't have to wonder, will I make it into the kingdom? Jesus made sure on the cross that you would know that there's a way and how to embrace that way through faith to have your place in the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is put in you as a down payment, as a deposit, guaranteeing that you have a place, a reservation, and a seat waiting for you. So he was preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Why? Because in the kingdom, we'll all be healed. And if I'm going to tell you that there's a kingdom coming, I'm going to demonstrate, and this is what it's going to look like. As a sign telling you that this is what's coming. Watch this. Paul said, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit to Corinth. Why? Because he didn't want their faith to rest on wise and persuasive words. Because if your faith rests on wise and persuasive words, other wise and persuasive words could take you out. I want your faith to rest on a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that doesn't go away. That doesn't get contradicted. No, I was healed. Okay, I was healed. And so Paul demonstrates that. Jesus demonstrates that. So what does that mean for us? We tell people about the kingdom. We tell them what's coming. There's a judgment day coming for every human soul. And on that day, you will either be in the kingdom or not. And that's when the door closes. There's no going back. There are no do-overs. There's no, oops, I didn't realize. And those who are in the kingdom will be fully restored and fully healed. All of these wonderful things. And let me show you. Just in case you think I don't know what I'm talking about, let me show you what the kingdom is like. Okay? We pray for healing. And Jesus, it says, listen to this, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Well, now that is a pretty successful evangelistic program, isn't it? So then we look at that and we say, okay, well, that was good for then, but that was Jesus. What about us? Right? I mean, don't you think that? Well, yeah, Jesus healed them all. That was amazing. That was awesome. We don't see that. We don't see that same kind of effectiveness. Are you sure? You know, this is the path we're supposed to be on? Because, you know, we don't see it quite like that. And it's true. We don't see it quite like that. But every once in a while we do. And I think that when we do, we need to talk about it. We need to share that story. And that's why you've heard so many stories from me. Corrie Ten Boom, Jackie Pullinger, those books, and others, Jack Deere, others that I've pulled from, trying to help John Wimber fill this out. So let me share a couple more with you today, because it helps us realize, okay, this does happen. Because I can read the Gospels and have almost like an otherworldly feel about it. Like, well, that was the Gospel of Jesus. We're talking now. So C. Peter Wagner was a professor at Fuller Evangelical Seminary in Southern California, and he told a story of one of his students who was in Kenya. And in Kenya, in this village where this missionary was, they had a baby who was dying, had malaria, and the missionary was called in the middle of the night because they don't have cars, they can't get to hospitals. You know, what do? The baby's dying. He said the little girl's eyes were rolled back in her head, and all he could see was white, and they couldn't get a, you know, breath from her, and things like that. And he didn't know what to do. What do? You pray, right? And so he invited everybody into the house, and people were afraid to come in because they didn't want to be there if the baby died, because they had some superstitions about that, you know, about if you're in the place where someone dies, then it gets on you. And so he convinced them to come in, sit down, and he said a very simple prayer. He just said, Lord, would you please heal this baby? And he gave the baby back to the mom. it was that simple. And as soon as he handed her back, the baby woke up, was crying, and she nursed the baby, and it was fine, and it was completely instantaneously healed, and all of the people started praising God. Now, what happens next? The entire village gives their lives to Jesus. An entire village. Okay? Now, so you see the pattern that's happening here in Matthew is the pattern then that Jesus calls us to, as the Church of Jesus in the world, to be able to imitate that pattern and replicate that pattern This was just one missionary in one little village in Kenya, but the effect was evangelism. The effect, when Jesus did it, and the effect when this missionary did it, was salvation of lost souls. Another story that comes from India is a Christian Indian named Pradeep. And Pradeep was a missionary. He was from India, but he lived in Great Britain. And he went back to India with a group of six people and, with a mission called Operation Mobilization. And they came down this road, and he said, "I think we should go up that road. I feel the Holy Spirit's telling me, go up that road." And the driver said, "No, we don't go up that road. That's a Muslim village. They will stone you, and they will bring out sticks, and they will beat you." There's just no doubt about it. And Pradeep said, "Okay." So they drove on, and he says, "Wait a minute, let's go back. I really feel like God is saying, go up that road." And the driver's like, "You're crazy." And he goes, "I know." So they go up the road, and they get out, and just like the driver said, immediately, just a whole group of from the village, young men, came out with sticks and with rocks to beat them and to pelt them. And at the same time, the mullah, the Muslim leader of the village, came out as well. He said, wait a minute. You guys settle down. He said, you Christians, you say that your God can heal. He said, my wife has been in bed for 5 years with some kind of sickness or disease that nobody can heal and nothing can help. You come to my house, you pray for my wife, and if she gets healed, I'll let you preach as much as you want in this village, anything you want. If she doesn't, well, there's the guy standing there with the rocks and sticks, so there's your option. Pradeep said, okay. He took one other person with him. They went into the house. They asked the husband, the mullah of the village, to put his hands on her first, and they put hands on him, you know, to make sure it was proper, because it wouldn't be proper to touch a woman. And they prayed. Again, a very simple prayer, but they asked God to heal her. She stood up for the first time in 5 years off of her bed and made tea for them. Just like, you know, Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever and she started waiting on them. And it's like, well, there's the Bible right there. The mullah of the village invited them to stay. They stayed 3 weeks in the village teaching them. And at the end of those 3 weeks, the people said, there's a river down the hill. Can we get baptized? And everyone in that village over the age of 12, and I don't remember what the number was, 250 people. 250 people walked down the hill to the river and were baptized and saved. And that town, that began a church in that village, obviously. And that church now reaches out to neighboring villages, bringing the good news of Jesus to them. So you see, yeah, praise God. So it's like, okay, That's great. That's great. That's awesome. But it shows us what, you know, can happen when we allow for the Holy Spirit to give us promptings such as, I think we should go down that road. No, you don't want to go down that road. I think we should go down that road. And there are roads. In this joyful empowerment, there will be roads that you won't want to go down, but God's going to ask you to go down. And you're going to have to trust in Him. And we will have to trust in Him. But that's the way of a disciple. That's the way of somebody who Jesus comes to and says, I want you to follow me, drop your nets and everything you know and all your securities, and come after me, walk with me. We don't know what we're getting into, but just come and follow me. And we say in our hearts, an abandonment of all of our self-protection and securities, and we say yes. And we look and see what that means. Now, for you and I, this is not probably going to happen holding a baby and seeing it healed. I've done that. I've held babies and asked for healing, and that didn't happen. I've poured my heart out in love for people in fasting and prayer for healing, and it didn't happen. But I can't let that, as painful as it is, I cannot let it stop me from seeing if the next one will. Because if I pray for 1,000 people and only one of them gets healed, there's 999 people saying that this doesn't work. But there's one who's praising God who got healed, and it's like, okay, I cannot pray to avoid the disappointment and the difficulty when it doesn't happen. Or I can just say, God, I don't know. I don't understand. I trust you with this person. I trust you with their hearts. I trust your love, and I trust that you hold on to them. But I know what your word says, and it says to pray for healing, and I'm going to pray for healing, because if it happens for 1 or 2 or 10% or 20%, oh, glory to God. And may it effect great movement in the kingdom of God and bring salvations on the earth. Because our great commission is not to heal. Our great commission is not to speak in tongues. Our great commission isn't even to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our great commission is to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that Jesus taught. Our great commission is to get people into the kingdom. Because on Judgment Day, that will be final, and there's no hope for people if we didn't reach them before then. And the glory and the joy of partnering with Jesus to get what he's after is just so great a reward in this life, and I can't imagine what it's going to be like in the kingdom to come. We can't imagine. And that's what the Bible actually says. So what is that going to look like for you and I? First of all, we have to remember that being Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Spirit-filled means that we go to the Bible first. What does Holy Spirit look like in the Bible? What does it look like in the book of Acts? What does it look like when Jesus did it? We need to know that. Listen, dear ones, one of the places that we go off the track, off the rails, is because we start listening to teachings that people teach about the Holy Spirit instead of going back and seeing what Jesus said about it and what the Bible sees, how it happens. This is our groundwork. This is our framework. This is where we go. There are so many, and I'm going to say it honestly here, there are so many whacked out teachings about the Holy Spirit and how it works that get people into all sorts of trouble, lead them down all sorts of crazy paths, preys on gullibility and superstition that's natural in the human mind, and we just make a mess of it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come out looking very good, and therefore the name of Jesus suffers. But we don't have to do that. I'll tell you straight up, I'm not going to do that. Unless you see me doing it and you say, Tom, that sounds pretty wacky, then then it's like, okay, well, let's figure this out. Because, we can all get off track. But whenever we see, teachings that are like, that just, when I read the Bible, that's not what I sense. Do you know what I mean? That's not what I sense. I don't sense that that was what Jesus was after. I don't sense that that was the way he would have done that. So that's just going to be, Bible-based means this is where it starts from, and it means that what Jesus did, we need to become that because this is his heart. When the Bible shows us what is Jesus' heart, right? Jesus, what's your heart? And you don't read just one verse, guys, come on. Are you kidding me? You read one verse? Well, the Bible says, but what does the whole Bible say? Like, what does it say from Genesis to Revelation? What does it say? What matters to Jesus? Do you know what matters to Jesus? Well, you ought to know what matters to Jesus because he said so over and over and over again. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He put the two together. And he said, love one another. He said, how are they going to know that you're Christians? By how much you love one another. Here's my one command, love one another as I have loved you. Like, what matters to Jesus? You should know that, right? We should know his heart. And knowing his heart is where you start. It's not an add-on where later, like Paul did in 1 Corinthians, what did Paul say about love? He said, you can speak with tongues like crazy. You can speak in tongues all over the place. You can be just constant, always flowing. But if you don't have love, it's like you're banging tin cans together. How much good is that going to do for the world? Oh, here comes the guy banging tin cans together. That's what Paul said. That's it's useless. You can have prophecies like nobody's business, right? Like say all sorts of things and they're true and then da-da-da-da-da and it's like, oh, this is amazing. But if you don't have love, it's pointless. You've done nothing. We know the heart of God. We know that the fruit of the Spirit, we want to talk about, well, what things can I do? What stuff can I do? What you do is nothing in comparison to who you are. This is who you are. And this will go much further than that ever will. So when we see people who have these amazing gifts and they can do all these things, but they're lacking those, it's like saying, that's worthless. And it truly is. Come on, we have the Bible. We know. We know the heart of God. We know how we, you know, when we see, and I'm going to say this, when we see promotion of material wealth, when we see people talking about this is how you get rich and this is how you get money and this is how, you know, you can get all these things and Jesus gives all these things, is that what Jesus said? Is that what you characterizes his ministry? Didn't he do the opposite? Didn't he warn us about those things? I was like, how do you put that together? Well, we don't, and we won't, and I won't. There's a strain of teaching in Christianity today that is absolutely counter to the whole spirit and lifestyle of Jesus. But we don't call it out because we kind of, somewhere deep down inside, kind of hope that it might be true for us. Yeah, that would be nice. I like stuff. So in my devotions, I went through 1 and 2 Timothy, and I wrote down all the things Paul told Timothy, because that's one pastor to another. I thought, you know, Pastor Paul, talk to me, Pastor Tom. And Paul said, Timothy, do you have a house? Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have food to eat? Be content with that. You got a house. Come on, you guys. You guys all have houses? Everybody here have a house? You got a place to sleep at night? You're sheltered, right? Do you guys have clothes to wear? I assume you do. You made it here today. Can we all find something to eat today? Be content with that. Where does this discontentment come from? This longing and wanting of other things. That I now create a theology that says, oh, God's going to give me a mansion and a plane and 100 other things. It's like, really? Is that what you see Jesus doing? Look, I want to go down the path of Holy Spirit, but I do not want to accumulate the kinds of things that Holy Spirit teachings bring. And I just won't. Been there, done that, and we want gospel, we want Jesus, we want his lifestyle, we want his heart, we want all the things that Paul, and would Paul say that? Would Paul teach that? Is that how Paul lived? That's our measurement, isn't it? And I just believe that we will, if we can keep that pure and clear, we will have more joyful empowerment than we've ever known before. Charles Finney was a great evangelist and filled with the Holy Spirit, but his heart for saving people's lives and souls was not so that he could have a TV program, write books, and do CDs and podcasts. His heart was just to see a soul taken from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. Oh my gosh, you guys. Do you want joy in your life? Do you want happiness in your life? Do you want to feel like life is great, life is good? Start getting in on that game. You know? start getting in on that game and see what that starts producing for you. The actual changing of a... So Charles Finney's sitting at this dinner, and they asked him to pray the grace, just dinner, you know, like, Lord, bless this food. So he starts praying, Lord, bless this food, but there are two unsaved people at the table. And he got overwhelmed, and he started crying. He started weeping. He started weeping for their souls. He said, I couldn't help it. The compassion of God for these two souls just overwhelmed me, and I made a spectacle of myself. And one of the unsaved people got up from the table and left and went back to his room. But he came out the next morning a Christian because he gave his life to Jesus that night as he wrestled with Jesus after he heard that prayer. Hallelujah, yes. So when we start looking, at things that God is calling us to and what that looks like to us, he's calling us to the Bible, to be a people who love the Bible, love the Word, and know what it says, and let it permeate our beings so that when something crazy comes along, like, you know, somebody says, oh, did you know that this and that? And it's like, oh, that doesn't sound like the God I know. That doesn't sound like his heart. That doesn't sound like what he's after. That doesn't sound like what Jesus was pointing his disciples to. Right? It's just, you know, it becomes natural to us because we love the Bible. So that's the kind of people we want to be. We want to be Christ-centered. Jesus, what do you want? Jesus, what do you want? I give my life to you, Jesus. I sacrifice everything for you, Jesus. What does it look like, Jesus? If I say to you right now, Jesus, do with Tom Eckhart whatever you want to do. Well, so I mean, you know, like, kind of. I mean, but what when we do, right? I'm just telling you what goes through my mind. But it's like, what if we abandon ourselves to him because he's the center, he's the everything, he's the everything of the church. The church isn't about me and what my needs are and what he will serve with me. The church is all about Jesus, and how can we glorify him and lift him up and so others can see him and glorify him? That's where I get my reward. That's where we're all going to get our blessings. You're going to get plenty of blessings. You're going to get plenty of joy. You're going to get plenty of everything if we put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be given. Come on. We got the truth. Bible-based, Christ-centered, and we want to be Spirit-filled, you guys, not because it's the latest thing, not because it's a fad, not because it makes us feel super spiritual. We want to do it because the Bible says so. The Bible says, wait for the power before you go out to be my missionaries, witnesses. Let the power come, and then we see how the power works, and it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. You guys, come on, man. If the Father gave us a gift, like his own Spirit, like he gives us a gift, we want that gift, don't we? God, I don't want to turn your gift away. I want to receive your gift. Now, we'll start with this, like we did the other day, yesterday, and we just walked in the neighborhood. We ran into a lady. She was standing out in her front yard. We said, hey, how you doing? Fine. It was myself and Diana Lule. And we just said, you know, hey, we're from this church down the street. Like Kelsey was saying, we're going on a prayer walk. And she said, oh, isn't that wonderful? And we said, yeah, how can we pray for you? You know, and she said, well, just for me. You know, nothing specific, just for me. Well, great, let's do that. Who knows what happened later in her life? I mean, in her day, right? Who knows where that prayer will go? But we just make ourselves available. And so let me finish today with just enticing you with some things that that I was reading about in a book called Naturally Supernatural, a young woman in England who started moving with the Holy Spirit and teaching that to other people and seeing how that might manifest itself in people's lives. And I think it'll give us a better idea of what God might be calling us to, okay? So, her first time of healing, she was walking with a friend after, I think it was soccer, after a soccer match, and her friend said her knee was just really hurting her. And so this girl was like, well, might as well try, right? She said, can I pray for your knee? And she said, sure. So they went back to her house, and she said, so I laid hands on her knee, I prayed, and I asked God to heal it, and nothing happened. So she left. And 3 o'clock that afternoon, she comes back with a friend. And she says, when I got home, all of a sudden my knee got intense pain, and then bam, it was gone. And it's completely gone, and I have no pain in my knee whatsoever. And she's like, you're kidding me. right? So I brought my friend who has a sprained thumb, and I want you to pray for him, right? I mean, if this stuff works, let's keep going. And she said she learned from that time that God really does listen. And okay, so she teaches this class in England. I forget what kind of church it is. It's King's Arms Church in England. And she teaches this class on supernatural ministry. And so she has these people who go out and do things. And this one lady, her hairdresser comes to her. She's like a mobile hairdresser. She goes around to people, okay? She comes to her, and the lady's like, I think the Lord gave me a picture for you, and he showed me some embers that are almost gone, but they can come back again. And it was like, that's the picture I got. And the lady was like, okay. And she knew that it was relating to her faith. She used to be on fire for God, and now she's kind of let it kind of go down. And the next time she comes, her wrists are really painful, and she's barely able to do the stuff. And she noticed that the Christian lady noticed it and said, your wrists really seem to be struggling here. You're struggling today. She said, yeah. Can I pray for your wrists? So she prayed for her wrists. And as soon as she said amen, the pain immediately left her wrist. And the girl was like, are you kidding me? And she said at that point, the embers flew up into flame. And her desire to be with God and her relationship with God came flooding back to her. And she got into the church and she got reconnected with Jesus. And this other lady was talking to her boss on the phone, ex-boss, and he said he fell, and his knees really hurt him. And she said, can I pray for your knees? And he said, sure. She said, put your hands on your knees, and I'm going to pray for you. She prayed for his knees, and she said, are you feeling anything? And he said, yeah, my knees are burning. She said, okay, get up and walk around, see if you can do something that you couldn't do before. And he did, and he said, you know, the pain in my left knee is completely gone. My right knee still, but my left knee's fine. She said, let's do it again. So put your hand on your knee, and it got the fire again. She said, now try it. And he walked, and he said, it's gone too. So he came to church and gave his life to Jesus. See, these are just little things that people can begin to just start asking, God, what are you doing? Like the one girl was like, God, I'm praying for one of my coworkers, right? I'm praying for one of my coworkers. And God says to me, you need to get her a special gift. Okay. So she goes, she says, so what am I supposed to get her? A bouquet of flowers. So she gets her a bouquet of flowers. She brings it to work. She's got it in her car. And she's thinking, okay, I'm going to write a card. And she asks, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to this lady? She doesn't know her very well. She writes three things down that she feels Holy Spirit saying to her, right? So she goes, she's at work, and she says, hey, meet me at my car. So they go out to the parking lot, and she brings out this bouquet of flowers, and the girl starts crying. And she says, did you know? And she's like, what? She said, you had to know. And she said, no, I don't know. I just know that God told me to bring you a special gift today. She said, I don't believe it. She said, you have to know. And she's just crying. And she gave her the flowers and left. She found out that the young woman had just found out that she's pregnant. But her boyfriend is angry about it. And he said, if you keep this baby, I'm leaving. So this young woman is struggling with, she made an appointment to get an abortion. And she prayed that morning. First time in her life, she prayed to God. First time in her life. And she prayed to God, and she said, God, would you please give me a sign? If I'm to keep this baby, give me a sign. And that day, God had told this woman, bring her a bouquet of flowers. And she said, this is the sign. And in the card, the three things from the Holy Spirit, this young woman said, I had two things that I was most afraid of if I kept the baby, two of them. And she said, number one and number two on your list address those fears specifically. So she kept the baby. And that is the end result of somebody just praying and saying, you know, it's, John Wimber used to say, we make this far too complicated. Power evangelism is really all about just waiting for an impression from God and being obedient to it. And if you don't get one, then wait. Don't try to make something happen. Don't make it up, you know? But ask God to give you an impression, and when you get that impression, obey it. But if you don't get one, wait until you actually do. John Wimber opened his church up to that. He had a speaker come in that asked Holy Spirit to come, and it did, and everybody got knocked down on the floor, and people started speaking in tongues, and they didn't do that in that church. They didn't have a grid for that, and people were joyfully celebrating all over the place, and it was crazy. And he said, I think I'm really in bad trouble for asking this guy in. My church is going to leave. It's going to be bad. And he said what happened was about half the church left, but the ones that stayed, they started, you know, that happened, right? And they started taking it out on the street, and they said some girls were praying with the guy in a parking lot, and he fell down, and they didn't know what to do. They said he just fell down. But he stood up. He said, I want to be a Christian. And he gave his life to Jesus. He said in his church, his little church in Southern California, from May to September, so that's what, like about 4 months, 1,700 people gave their lives to Jesus, and 700 were baptized. Again, that didn't happen so that we could fall down. That didn't happen so that people could pray in tongues. That doesn't happen, right, so that we can do this, you know, I want to experience that stuff. It's like, no, it happens for the reason that Jesus did it. Going back to the Bible, it happened because there are souls to be saved. If there were no souls to be saved, we wouldn't be doing that thing. In fact, in Corinthians it says, you know, once Jesus returns and we have the kingdom, we don't do speaking in tongues anymore. They're going to stop because we don't need them. We're not going to do prophecies. We don't need them. The reason for them is because there's unsaved people, not for us to just have an entertaining time. So that's what God's calling us to. So Jesus, I just say yes to you, Jesus. Continue to work in us and among us to release us for this place where souls will be saved, testimonies will come forth, glory will be on the earth for your sake. God, bring us to this place where we're just acting out, we're walking out the biblical faith. Help us to be a community of people who are simply walking out biblical faith, and protect us from all sorts of strange and bizarre teachings. Protect us from greed and self, just self-promotion. Protect us from getting down any kind of tracks that are not biblical faith tracks. But there are many. Help us, keep us pure. Help us to be more like you. Help us to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and may you be glorified into this next season of this church's life and the church of Jesus in the earth for the next season that you're calling us to, God. Bless us, protect us, empower us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's stand. And what I want to do today is, by the way, John Wimber had an amazing healing ministry, but for 10 months he prayed for people and not a single one was healed. He said, I'm going to step out, I'm going to start praying for healing for people. For 10 months, not a single person was healed. And then one day one was. And it just opened up and went on from there. I want to pray for you today. I'm going to put my mask on. And I'm going to ask you if you have any kind of physical condition at all today. If you want to come up and stand up here toward the front, you don't have to. But if you feel like doing that, and I just want to say a prayer for you. I just want to pray for each person. And I just want to say, God, this is what you do. And I want to give you the opportunity to do it.